नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 17th chapter. And the verse is 25. Shri Shuku Vacha. I think I'll read these verses and then we'll chant this one together. Iti prasadya girishao chitraketur arindama jagamaswa vimanena pashyatur smayatos tayoho. Shri Shukadev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, subduer of the enemy, after Chitraketu satisfied Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati, he boarded his airplane and left as they looked on. When Lord Shiva and Parvati saw that Chitraketu, although informed of the curse, was unafraid, they smiled, being fully astonished at his behavior. Tatastu Bhagavan Rudro Rudranim Idama Bravit Devarshi Daitya Siddhanam Parshadhanam Cha Srinvatam. Thereafter, in the presence of the great sage Narada, the demons, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and his personal associates, Lord Shiva, who is most powerful, spoke to his wife Parvati while they all listened. Shri Rujuvacha Drishtavatyasi Shushrono Drishtavatyasi Shushroni Harir Adbhuta Karmanaha Mahatmyam Vritya Vrityanam Nispritham Mahatmanam. Shri Rudruvacha Drishtavatyasi Shushroni Harir Adbhuta Karmanaha Mahatmyam Vritya Vrityanam Nispritham Mahatmanam. Shri Rudruvacha, Lord Shiva said, Drishtavati Asi, have you seen? Sushroni, O beautiful Parvati, Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adbhuta Karmanaha, whose acts are wonderful. Mahatmyam, the greatness, Vritya Vrityanam, of the servants of the servants, Nisprihanam, who are without ambitions for sense gratification, Mahatmanam, great souls. Translation. Lord Shiva said, my dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas, being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari? They are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Please repeat. Lord Shiva said, my dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, they are great souls, and they are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Shiva, the husband of Parvati, told his wife, my dear Parvati, you are very beautiful in your bodily features. Certainly you are glorious. But I do not think you can compete with the beauty and glory of devotees who have become servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Lord Shiva smiled when he joked with his wife in that way, for others cannot speak like that. The Supreme Lord, Shiva continued, is always exalted in his activities, and here is another example of his wonderful influence upon King Chitraketu, his devotee. Just see, although you cursed the king, he was not at all afraid or sorry. Rather, he offered respect to you, called you mother, and accepted your curse, thinking himself faulty. He did not say anything in retaliation. This is the excellence of a devotee. By mildly tolerating your curse, he has certainly excelled the glory of your beauty and your power to curse him. I can impartially judge that this devotee, Chitraketu, has defeated you and your excellence simply by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Toror api suhishnuna. Just like a tree, a devotee can tolerate all kinds of curses and reversals in life. This is the excellence of a devotee. Indirectly, Lord Shiva forbade Parvati to commit the mistake of cursing a devotee like Chitraketu. He indicated that although she was very powerful, the king, without showing any power, had excelled her power by his tolerance. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Varshabana Videvi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Pravade Namaha Madhuryo Jwala Premadya Shri Rupanuka Bhaktida Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gurukishoraya Sakchad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Sorupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gora Virvava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjanapriya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tvishe Namaha. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Madana Mohana Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratna Gara Singhasanasta Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Prishtali Bi Sevya Mano Smarami Srimad Rasarasarambi Vamshivata Tatastita Karshan Venu Swanir Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsidevyai Priyayai Keshavasicha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha. Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinga Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chatuskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru Mami Vaishyas Yukvaivam Atmanam Aparayanaha Sarvadharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Ahantang Sarvapapebhyo Mukshayishami Masuchaha Shushrusho Sharadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevana Shinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hibadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam Nashta Prayeshu Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Paktir Bhavati Naishtiki Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamaloba Dayashchaye Chaitaiter anavidam stitam satve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavad tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidite hridaya granthish chijante sarva samshayah shiyante chasya karmani trishtae vatmanishvare jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo Sri Rujuvacha Drishtavatyasi Shushroni Hare Radbhuta Karmanaha Mahatmyam Pritya Pritjanam Nisprihanam Mahatmanam. Lord Shiva said, my dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. The problem with having an interest in material happiness, well, it's not a problem, there are many problems. But one of them is that there isn't any material happiness. And Krishna says it in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, that the material world is a slaughterhouse. And he says that just as animals are waiting to go in the door to be slaughtered, so similarly every living entity in this world is waiting. And he said, I can't imagine how anyone could then try to get some happiness out of the material world in that situation. That was Krishna's perspective. And of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, he warns us repeatedly. He helps us to adjust our expectations. Of course, the problem is that a conditioned soul, none of you, but I'm saying a conditioned soul, is someone who has optimism for finding happiness in the material world. But Krishna says categorically in the Bhagavad Gita that from the topmost planet down to the bottom, there's no happiness. This is what's known as adjusting expectations. Big corporations do it when they produce a product. They make sure that people's expectations are accurate. Because if people expect too much and you underdeliver, they become very disappointed. So if you underpromise and overdeliver, then people become delighted. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, topmost planet down to the bottom planet, it's all place of misery. But then, of course, someone comes along and says, no, let's still try. So it's not a good idea. And from this vested interest in the material world, when I think that there's something in it for me, then I look around and everything I see, I attach myself to because I think that could be mine. They're just things. And in fact, the Shastra says, asango hyayam purushaha, little jiva, you have nothing to do with the material world, nothing at all. In fact, Krishna says to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the idea of liberation is a misnomer. There is no bondage, he says, there is no liberation, practically speaking, because the living entity is always in a transcendental situation. He only dreams that he's attached to the material world. He becomes attached out of desire to enjoy something here in the material world. And in the Gita, Krishna says, jayato vishayam pum sam sangas teshu pajayate. That as soon as I look at anything in this world and I contemplate it, which a contemplation means I consider there's something in it for me. This could be mine. Then I develop what he calls sa-anga, a sangha. Now I have an attachment to that thing and it becomes a problem for me, the transcendental living entity, because now I'm attached to something here in the material world. So Lord Shiva is glorifying the Vaishnavas because they have gone beyond the stupidity, first of all, of thinking that there's something in this material world for happiness. Although this seems to be there's a mass consensus in the world amongst living entities. As Devamrita Swami gave a lecture recently in Stanford University, and it was about mass consensual trance. It's consensual. Living entities look at each other and say, you still trying? Yeah, let's keep trying to enjoy the material world. But as Prabhupada describes the various phases of advancement in terms of a mirage, he says, the materialist is one who, like the deer, sees the mirage, thinks it's water, runs until he drops dead and never gets the water. But then comes along the jnani, and the jnani looks and he figures out after a long time that there's no water, and then he stops running. But the devotee realizes where the source of the mirage, what is the source of the mirage, and then if there is a mirage, there must be water somewhere else, real water. And that process for getting the real water is available to everybody. Krishna tells about it in the Bhagavatam. It's the process of devotional service beginning with hearing and chanting. So the Vaishnavas have made this evolution. Bahunam jamanamante jnanavamam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. They're being called great souls, mahatmanam. All of them, they're great souls because they've come to this position. All of you are great souls. You're Vaishnavas. You've come to this position where you've ruled out the material world as a possible place for residence or happiness. Not everyone's done that. I know, because you go around and ask people, and they don't necessarily agree that the material world is a lost cause. It's interesting. So the Vaishnavas are free from all material desire, and that includes desire for liberation. Means they're not even interested in being liberated. They only want to please Krishna through their service. And therefore, with no vested interest in any particular place in the material world, they're free to move about anywhere. And they can be satisfied and, as we'll get to in just a minute, tolerant. This is one of the characteristics and one of Chitraketu that's being particularly mentioned here, that he was tolerant. And by his tolerance, he, according to Lord Shiva, defeated Parvati, who's so powerful. And only a person who has made this decision within his or her heart that I'm not staying in the material world anymore. I've made a decision that I'm going to surrender to Krishna, even if I can't do it yet completely. If I've made that determination in my heart that that is the topmost goal of life, then such a person becomes not only a great soul, but infused with good qualities like tolerance. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinshana sarvarganas tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratena siti davato bihi. If I still have some a lingering idea that I can enjoy the material world, then the mind still produces a myriad plans for enjoying here. But the devotee becomes filled with good qualities because naturally he has good qualities being connected to Krishna, being part and parcel of Krishna. And when he gives up his claim to the material world, then he becomes, his good qualities shine forth. So, looking at the scene, that Chitraketu has just been cursed by Parvati. And coming from his flying chariot, he bows down before her and takes the curse upon his head and accepts it. And Lord Shiva recognizes now that this is the quality of someone who has conquered the lower nature and is a great soul. And he speaks, Narayanam, I'm sorry. Huh? Narayana paraksarve nukutaschana bhibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyarta darshina. That it doesn't matter for the surrendered soul whether he's in heaven or is in hell, because the material world is all in one category. It's all one category. And he's written it off completely. Only sees it as a place for service, and therefore is no longer interested in the material world at all. And wherever he goes, heaven or hell, he's simply looking for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the ideal situation to be focused only on service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj had been in a disadvantageous situation when he was doing his yajna. And when Bali met Vamandev, and all the signs were that Vamandev was going to take everything from him, still he gave it away. And after Vaman took his two footsteps. He then accused Bali of not handing over the third footstep. And so Bali said, you could put it on my head. You take that third footstep on my head. And afterwards, the demigods were amazed at how tolerant Bali Maharaj was. He had been tied up. Lord Vishnu, the Lord Vamanadeva embarrassed him. He tied him up with the ropes of Varuna. He put him in a cave. He insulted him for not giving his last footstep. And then he told him that because you haven't fulfilled your last promise, you have to go down into the hellish regions. But then they saw that Vamanadeva had Benedict in him. In fact, Vamanadeva won't leave Bali Maharaj ever. He stays with him as his doorman in the lower planetary systems. And they wanted to know why he received such a benediction. And the answer is that Krishna knows the heart of every living entity. And he could see that his intention was to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to surrender. In fact, in that situation, he couldn't bow down because he was in the association of all his demoniac friends. He was in the middle of a yajna. But in his heart, he had decided, I'm going to give myself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna senses that within the heart of the living entity and rewards him accordingly. So this mood of the devotees, which is detected in Chitraketu here by Lord Shiva, is something that is the most exalted in all the worlds, that the living entity completely surrenders to Krishna with no expectation of return. Simply, I give myself to you without asking anything in return. And in that situation, one becomes fearless and also tolerant, because the reason I have a difficulty tolerating here in this material world is because I have a vested interest. I have something to lose. But when I separate myself from the idea that I own anything in this material world and I give myself to Krishna, then what can't be tolerated? We can tolerate anything in that situation because nothing is mine. It's all coming as a blessing from Krishna. So we have the verse in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tate anukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vibhakam prithvabhapurvir vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. That the devotee who develops this mood in life, that I'm completely surrendered to Krishna, and that whatever comes to me, I'll take as Krishna's mercy. Whatever misery comes to my life, I consider that as a special purification from Krishna. And such a person, Sadaya Bhak, becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. This is the price for going back home, back to Godhead. And anyone can then live out their life, however long or short that may be in this world, and not be disturbed, because the goal has changed. In fact, Sridhar Swami says in his purport to that verse that just as the son of a rich man has one goal, and that is to stay alive, because he will definitely inherit the wealth of the father. In the same way, the devotee has only one duty, and that is to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. By taking everything as Krishna's mercy, run out the clock on the field, and from that, one inherits the kingdom of God in this mood of complete surrender to Krishna. So, toleration is something that can be developed also. It's important for the devotees, said Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to go out into the world and learn tolerance. Because if I stay home in my comfort zone, anybody here have a comfort zone that you're aware of? You can know, because if you go out to preach, oftentimes the mind will say, well, when we stay home instead? And I like to say that when one becomes uncomfortable in one's comfort zone and comfortable when one's outside one's comfort zone, then one's in the right situation. And the discomfort of going out into the world and introducing other people to Krishna consciousness is the way in which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said one develops spiritual blood. It's like, how did he become so healthy? Somebody sees another and says, oh, the person looks very healthy. How did you become healthy? What is your diet? What are your daily activities? So for spiritual health, you need chidrakta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, the spiritual blood. And where do you get it? Where do you get the spiritual blood? By learning to tolerate. Tolerate what? Go out and knock on doors, he said. He told his sannyasis, every day you go out and knock on at least 3 doors. Don't stay home where everyone agrees with you and you know the regular pattern. Go out where there's a little mystery, a little danger, and try. And then when people neglect you, when people misunderstand you, and when people berate you, then you can start developing some spiritual blood, especially when you learn to tolerate. And how do you tolerate? Well, one way is that you become philosophical. That's why Krishna gives so much philosophy throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Have you ever had a new car or a new vehicle, bicycle or something like that, and then it got smashed? Yes? I know it happened to me. And what did I do? I freaked out. And then I became philosophical. Well, after all, it's just a car. It's only made of metal. And throughout the Shastra, Krishna's saying the same thing. Now you just look at the whole world. It doesn't belong to you. It's coming today and leaving tomorrow. Even your body is just a robot that you're driving around in for a few years. What do you care? That's philosophy. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us this understanding of philosophy. You're just sitting in the field and observing. And the senses are moving according to the modes of material nature and so forth. So it's important for one to imbibe this philosophy constantly, because Maya means there's agents of Maya that will reassure us that you can try again in the material world. Just like Jarasandha. He tried 17 times and he was obliterated each time, all his armies. And it's amazing, because when he walked away after being slaughtered, everyone got around him and said, it was a fluke. Try again, 17 times. And so there's a little voice that wants to assure me that I can try again in the material world. So one has to hear constantly this sambandha gyan. You have no relationship to the material world. You're not your body. And don't have any vested interest in the material world, or you'll suffer. On and on Krishna goes to give us this clear philosophy. And if one actually takes that in one's heart, lights that fire of detachment within one's heart, then one can tolerate anything in this material world. By being permanently, having a permanent perspective of detachment. And not just detachment, but attachment to one's service. This is the secret that Krishna gives in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that one must not just be philosophical and detached from the material world, but one must also be attached to service, to Krishna, to trying to please Krishna's senses. And from that, there's a reciprocation which gives one the wherewithal to become detached and tolerant and develop all good qualities, as I mentioned before. Yes, yasti bhakti or bhagavati akinchana. So, practice by going and meeting people who don't know about Krishna. This is a good idea. Juxtaposed with hearing from the words of Krishna. These two things go together very well. They go together very well. And they give what's called, we call a super sadhana. Super sadhana. Just like there's rice, which is a wonderful food. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Come on, let's hear it for rice.
Yes.
Everyone likes rice. And then there's dal, which is another beautiful food. Anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. And according to Jamuna's cookbook, in the section on rice, that book called Lord Krishna's Cuisine, when you mix the two together, rice and dal, you get what's called synergy. You get 42% more nutrition. That's Krishna's arrangement. So similarly, hearing and chanting is nice. Going out to distribute Krishna consciousness to others is nice. But when you put the two together, you get super sadhana. It's very powerful. The two things complement one another. So this is the system. This is the mood of our acharyas. Srila Prabhupada was daring and active. He said we should be daring and active. Hear constantly from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Ishapanishad, Nectar Devotion, and then go out and distribute it to others. You don't have to do anything else except these two things, besides deity worship. And if you do these things together, then all good qualities, one will develop all good qualities. And one of them is tolerance, which is the gold standard, because you can't fake tolerance. Eventually you'll snap. If you really don't have this feeling of happiness in your heart and detachment when you're being tested, then you won't be able to maintain it. So it's one of the verifiable signs of a sadhu is tolerance, because you can't fake it. See who's tolerant. And Rupa Goswami says, there's a lot more, besides just going out to tolerate, you don't have to go very far. It says, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiha vegam, udara pasta vegam. There are all these urges constantly testing me. And he says, this is the sign of somebody who's actually advancing in Krishna consciousness. Prithivim na shishyat, he says, everybody else in the world becomes this person's shishya, disciple, if he can tolerate the urges of the senses, because they're the masters of the world. Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jatamayina karuna natrapa no pashanti utsri jaitanata yarupate samprata labda buddhis tamayata sharanam apayam amniyukshva madasye. Great soul says, for how long and how many ways have I served the bad masters of my senses? They've never given me time off. They've never given me mercy. And according to Divina Nirana Prabhu, who said the other day, you don't even get a free pen. Sometimes you go to the bank, at least they give you a free pen. But the bad master of the senses, no free pen. Just work and slave for me all the time and do what I say. No return. So the devotee changes his mind with determination. He says, now I'm giving up my service to the bad masters. No more. I'm going to serve Krishna. Utsri jayatanata yadupate samprata labdi buddhis. He knows now I'm going to channel all my service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is labdha buddhi. This is the real intelligence of life. So congratulations to all of you for having gained this great intelligence to dedicate your life exclusively to Krishna and his service, and to forsake the material world altogether, except for whatever can be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now we'll take a few reflections. Anything that you heard from the verse purport or the discussion that stuck in your mind. And we have a microphone ready to go. Yes? You better give him the microphone because there's people listening online and they can't hear. Smara Hari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, this book that you've just written is the most important book that I've ever read.
He's not a plant.
It describes the science of Krishna consciousness as well as the art of distributing books. It was just exactly those two principles that you just mentioned in your lecture. I would like to know, it's outside, it's 250 rupees, cost price of printing, right outside on a table. But my question is, how many languages is this available in presently, and how many languages will it be available in? Because, of course, even here in this audience, not all these people have English as their first language. That's my question.
Thank you very much. I don't know. I know it's being translated. But one thing I do know is that Krishna speaks all the languages of all living entities, which is amazing. And those who desire to teach Krishna consciousness also go out of their way to learn how to communicate to all living entities. I've seen it with devotees who develop a sense that everyone, it's imperative that everyone come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And therefore Krishna gives them intelligence to develop language communication facility so that they can connect to people. And it doesn't take that much. Living entities are very aware when somebody is their well-wisher, and just a few words. In fact, sometimes you don't even have to speak the same language. When I was in Japan recently, I was on the street distributing books, and my friend Radhika Raman Prabhu was giving me a refresher course of how to distribute books on the streets in Japan. And I do speak a little Japanese, but he said, don't speak any Japanese. In fact, he said, I've been here for years and I purposely didn't learn Japanese because it's a detriment to my distribution. So I said, so what is your mantra? He said, you ask people, are you from Japan? Are you Japanese? And if you've been to Japan, practically 99% of the people are Japanese. It's not metropolitan like many places. But so I'd walk up to people and say, excuse me, are you Japanese? And then they'd stop and say, oh, yes, I'm Japanese. And they say, I like Japan very much. And just from a few words like that, then immediately we had enough of a connection so that they were open and willing to read Vedic scripture. And that's important. And so this idea about bridging the language gap, everywhere we go, if we have this intense desire to reach out to other living entities, whether they're in human bodies or animal bodies, wherever, and just make sure every living entity gets contact with the holy name and with the transcendental literature somehow or other. And this is the real juice of life. That and constantly hearing from Bhagavatam. And the one thing about hearing is, that's very important, is you have to hear a lot. You can't just hear a little bit. That's okay. But if you want to get lift off from the material world, you have to hear all the time. You have to put in huge chunks of time. I mean, huge chunks of time are used up anyway in this material world for useless things. And if you carve out huge chunks of time or as much as you possibly can every day to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, then all your problems are solved. Just magically, because of the potency of the sound vibration. Another reflection? Yes.
Hare Krishna, sincere speaker, thank you very much. Just to mention regarding tolerance in your lecture, I asked a question with few points. Just it is mentioned that to commit atrocity is a sin, while remaining silent on observing atrocity done is a greater sin. The first motto of Islam is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large, and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values and to establish real unity and peace in the world. But to become in Vrindavan, and the Prime Minister of India is cleaning throughout India with jharu. But in Vrindavan, people are taking milk, tea, and throwing their plates, leaf plates, and cups, glasses on the roadside. And he's smoking in front of the temple gate and backside of the farmhouse gate. What do people should do to stop their smoking and throwing rubbish on the roadside? It is my question. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Definitely chant Hare Krishna. Smoking. Not very good. Better get it fixed. Well, one thing is that the prospect of saving the whole world is a little overwhelming. So one thing to do when one feels overwhelmed like that is to try to save oneself. So we have this motto that save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. It's very difficult actually to save one soul, and it's very difficult even to motivate oneself oftentimes. So to bridge that gap is the first big step in changing one's environment. I just want to say a couple more things about tolerance that are practical, because I forgot to mention them. And I want to leave you with something practical about tolerance. Okay? Yes. So tolerance. I considered recently how much I procrastinate. That is, there are important things I need to do, but instead of doing them, I do something else. Even something mindless. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Thank you for working with me on that. So, I already know how to procrastinate. You just don't do it. Just defer. There's even people, accountants will tell you how to deal with taxes. You don't not pay them, you just defer them. You just put it off. That's what accountants do. They put it off year after year after year after year, and then they hope, you know, the whole thing, the tax system will change. Anything can happen, but you just put it off. So, there's this idea of procrastination, and I think that there could be a department open at university called applied procrastination. Just like there's pure math and there's applied math. So applied procrastination means that when I'm faced with a difficult situation, that I simply don't react to it, procrastinate. And this is the same kind of technique that's used in growing orchids. I have a friend that's expert at growing orchids. Her mother is actually the expert, and she told the secret, which is tender, loving neglect. Just simply neglect. Don't put them in a corner and just leave them alone. They don't like to be fussed over and bothered. So just this idea that I don't have to react to the situations that come up, and procrastinate strategically is a practical way. One last reflection.
Thank you.
Thank you. Krishna over here.
Devatas, but their descendants
pass it over. Pass it over.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Here the thumb is so purified when there comes moments where you have to tolerate like myself, I can really see it's very difficult to faith tolerance or more than you want to.
Yeah, one thing we just read, thank you, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions that there's a inconvenience to us from following the Vedic strictures. In other words, there's a lot in Shastra that said, do this, don't do that, and it's inconvenient. It said, so one has to also tolerate the inconvenience caused by following the rules and regulations. You also have to tolerate that. Thank you very much for sitting together here in Vrindavan, in this holiest of places, just to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam.